This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Rockin' Robin right here on K108. It's time now for the Carol Cox Show on this beautiful Sunday morning outside. One thing about I like about working here, Carol, man, when the sun comes up, it's beautiful outside.
Always beautiful.
Huh? Always beautiful. And now here's Carol Cox.
Hey, thank you, Francis. And I'm always willing to chime in with you there. But that Bobby Day is pretty good, huh? Most Michael Jackson came out with that, and, you know, and he did a good job, but can't do it like Bobby Day.
Yeah, that's the original.
Right? 1951? Oh, well, that's a little...
That was before my time.
Before your time, but anyway.
I'm only 18, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. Well, when are you going to start acting your age?
Okay.
But anyway, today I have some guests in, Francis and the listeners out there. And there has... been a rumble here. There is a rumbling occurring in the community and across the nation with Congress has introduced a bill, H.R. 669. This is the 111th Congress of the U.S. And H.R. 669, basically what they say, it's to prevent the introduction and establishment of non-native wildlife species that negatively impact the economy, the environment, or other animal species, or human health, and for other purposes. Well, that sounds good, and I have my own opinions, but I'm going to let the people here that have come in to talk about this, and that have apparently ruffled their feathers, no pun intended, the Clayton Young, president of Ohana Bird Club, Phoenix Morgane of Wild Bird Rehab Haven, Miss Florence Hulahe'e, president of Aloha Hawaiian Parrot Association. And good morning, folks, and thank you for joining me. Well, what What is the rumbling? What is this bill? Now, I gave a brief introduction. What is this bill, and why is it bad, or why is it good? What in your stance?
Well, basically, Carol, the bill is to limit invasive species being brought into the United States. Now, on the outside, on the whole, I agree with that. Something does have to be done. We do have a lot of invasive species coming in, especially to Hawaii. The problem with this bill, though, is many. Because I've read the bill, and there's a lot of problems with it. My basic problem with it is that it's extremely vague and very, very broad. There are no, it doesn't define things. There's a lot of terms used in the bill that are never defined. There are species that are going to be outlawed or not laid out. They have exempted some species, but the species that they are going to outlaw are not laid out. It's left wide open. It's very broad and vague, and I that's my main problem.
I see.
Hi, I'm Clayton from the Ohana Bird Club. I just personally feel that with this bill, if it does pass this, it will create a lot of problems within our economy. Personally, I just feel like if this bill is passed, it's taking the rights of the animal industry, especially the bird population. I just personally feel also that that this bill should not pass because our laws in Hawaii is as strict as it can be already, and I don't think that this bill would actually do any difference. There are some species, for example, like the mongoose, that was introduced into the islands by the U.S. government, and this bill actually will make it harder for example, like parrots and other birds to come into the U.S. When in actuality, their birds are already illegal to bring in from, like, for example, like Australia, and therefore, I kind of feel like this bill is useless. It's not going to do any different. It's not going to do anything different.
Okay, Phoenix.
Yeah, hi, Carol. Good morning. Thank you for having us on the show. One of the biggest problems that we have is that this is going to be taking place at a federal level. It's a broad, sweeping restrictions on animals that we have been considering for centuries as pets, our parrots, cockatiels, lovebirds, everything. This is a sweeping, broad regulation against things that we've been dealing with all of our lives. And like Clayton was saying, our state level is extremely strict on what can be coming into the state as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let every state decide for itself according to its economy and its ecology and its environmental status, because mm-hmm. everyone is different. This is not something that, it's like they're taking it as a mechanical process as opposed mm-hmm. to a living being process.
Some had asked, in talking to just people other than yourselves, well, why are you so strong of an opposition to this, and you're not concerned with native species? Off air, we've talked, and I haven't heard you say that you're not concerned, any of you. You are concerned, as you've expressed to me. So what do you say about that? What, in your own words?
Well, I personally feel that a lot of the animals that we have that are non-native to Hawaii are actually causing problems as is. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I personally feel that, again, in Hawaii, for example, we have like the mongoose. We have other animals that are causing problems. But I personally feel that what we have here already in Hawaii may not be harmful to other states. I don't feel like it's going to cause any problems in any other states.
I think what you're trying to say is that we need to pay a little bit more attention already to what's happening, because we don't
exactly.
have, we have not been having been given the resources, the funding, the personnel to take care of the invasive species that we have here already. Keep it in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the things is that the animals that are pets have not really created a huge threat to the native species here.
Mm-hmm.
The problems that have arisen with the native species, like Clayton mentioned, the mongoose. Mongoose is a huge threat to native birds and stuff, and that was introduced by the government. That was not brought here as a pet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. There are bugs that were brought here to help plant crops or to help kill other bugs, that it went horribly wrong. So they're penalizing us for mistakes that they made in doing these things.
Well, you know, in regards to the mongoose, the Indian mongoose, now, you know, there is a, some say, like you say, it's the government introduced it. Others claim that it was a rancher, a farmer, a plantation owner in 1800s introduced it, like 1880s, 83 or 84, somewhere like that. So it doesn't matter. The point is, in this bill, and I think that I speak from a point that I am one of the strongest opponents of introduced species. I know what they do to impact and compete, because native species have adapted to a certain lifestyle, and they've learned and evolved over years, many a years. Having said that, I'm also torn with this bill, and Mr. Neil Abercrombie, our local congressman, is one of those that sponsored this bill. And I personally believe that it's driven by special interests. And I mean, you folk have a special interest too, and they have, but I think that this bill, the way it has arrived on the table, presents a big problem. It does not address the military activities. Brown tree snakes can be introduced here, and yet the monies that are placed in the brown tree snake fund is not sufficient, but that it is being tapped for other uses, and even the dogs that they have to sniff out species or invasive species, number one, are not used to the fullest, and number two, most of the people that work there have to go get training or not skilled. You got the dog certified, and I've been contacted by some of the federal employees to say the money is being diverted. So Guam, for example, complains, and it was Miss Bordello, delegate there from Guam, who in turn introduced it, was one of the main driven forces behind this introduction. Guam is encroaching. They've destroyed their habitat. So this bill does not speak specifically to the habitat destruction that we contribute. Now, can you do me a favor, Clayton, real quickly? Congressman Abercrombie sent you a response. You had inquired and asked.
Correct. The statement that I got from Neil Abercrombie, and this is what he said, H.R. 669 was introduced with the intent of halting the introduction of alien invasive species into this country. Every year, invasive species cost this nation more than $138 billion. In Hawaii, invasive species have resulted in millions of dollars in crop losses, the extinction of native species, the destruction of native forests and coral reefs, and has wreaked havoc on our local economy and quality of life. H.R. 669 is intended to stop the intentional introduction of non-native alien species that are found harmful. Of the 2,200 imported non-native species in the U.S., only about 13% are deemed to have some risk associated with its introduction. This bill does not affect any animals that people currently legally own in the U.S., nor does it affect commonly domesticated animals such as cats, dogs, horses, and pigs. I believe federal action is needed to help prevent the introduction of invasive species. However, this measure is just starting the legislative process, and changes will undoubtedly have to be made to stop unintended consequences. As this bill is considered, the Committee of Natural Resources will work with concerned groups to try and resolve differences.
Okay. Well, one of the things that caught me with that statement, and not to take issue with the congressman, but having knowledge of the environmental background here and the history of it and my love and concern for the environment, I don't know if anyone can say that, as he claimed, it has caused the extinction of native species. There's many factors that could be, if there's endangered, there's avian pox. The DLNR allowing the population of pigs to grow, you know, and satisfy the hunters. This is not a dig on anybody, but it's to be factual and speak. Agricultural, Christmas time, we get Christmas trees in. What happens to those species that are vagabonds aboard the shipments, you know? And then thirdly, this thing about Cookie frogs. Now, in 1988, when the first Cookie frogs were introduced and detected, now, it could have been stopped. So this is why this bill raises my hackles, in that it is skirting the real issues. And I want to see alien species out of the wild, but here's the problem. They refuse to put a list out. They call it a blacklist, identifying certain nurseries that were found to have these frogs. They were the state agriculture department because they felt it would hurt the economy. So meantime, you and I, if we were interested in buying potted flowers, plants, we would go and buy from that place that was known to be infested with frogs. And so that's one of the main ways that the frog population increased over the U.S., over the state of Hawaii. So anyway, that is that statement really got my interest in that. And again, now I'm for alien species reduction and keeping them out of the wild. So, what is that saying? And Florence, you had looked like you were ready to hop on that. So
I am. Well, I have. There's just so many things, but exactly the huge part of the problem that I think is that it's things like that. See, now that Cookie frog came in, right? Mm-hmm. And they knew about it. Were they brought in as pets? I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure
brought
they
in
weren't.
On bromeliads.
Okay, so see, this is not a pet animal, mm-hmm. that was released into the wild, mm-hmm. and took over and is creating a nuisance. It's not a pet. We have, the state has provisions in place, mm-hmm. to do things, right? They inspect for the brown tree snake. They do this, they do that. Why don't we, the federal government, the American people, whoever, why don't we put our resources towards supporting the laws and the rules that we already have in place, mm-hmm. to prevent these kind of things? And why don't we put some of the effort and the money that this bill is going to cost, because this bill is going to cost a fortune to fund, why don't we put some of the money towards eradicating the invasive species that we already have?
Right.
You know, I am totally for doing something for invasive species. My degree is in marine biology, and I know that the damage that has been done in the oceans around here from invasive species, which is a whole other story. But let's work with what we have in place. Let's fund the laws we have, the resources that we have. Let's fund them. Let's fight it here and now. Let's not create another huge government bureaucracy that's not going to get anything done.
Another diversion.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show. If you'd like to call in, 524-1080, I'm sure. If you're for or against, do call in. Again, 524-1080. And you can pick this up on the Internet at carolcox.com. About 10 o'clock today, our time. But anyway, there's some serious issues with this. And one of the other things, I was looking at the PJAC. This is the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. They are in strong opposition. That was that other special interest. And when I say special interest, environmentalists are behind this bill, which is okay with me, but let's be reasonable. We want to build this big, as you've described, Florence, get more money. Yet, it does not work, you see. We're squandering that. We got $5 million in the alien species here just for the state of Hawaii. Where is the accounting of that? The snake funds here. And if you were to call right now, if a snake was spotted, it would take hours before they could muster up a team. Case in point, at the military bases, when there is a sighting, it's difficult for them to have a true response. And so there are many, many concerns and introductions. And so people are asking, when and talking to them, what is going to happen if this bill passes? Is there any threat that people will actually that they will actually go and release their animals, because they're going to euthanize them, right, or kill them? What is there any threat, or have you heard anybody in the industry that's threatened to release the animals?
That just happened a few weeks ago. Said there was a gentleman on Craigslist that said, just go ahead and release your birds. It's not going to have any type of impact in the environment, and people are going to they will opt for releasing their birds into the wild as opposed to having to put them down.
So on that, being that we have their ear now, what would you say to those people that are tempted to do that? What would you say? What advice would you give them?
I would say don't do it. Don't do it. I have rescued birds from the wild. Don't do it. It's really, really hard on the birds, even though they're not typically domesticated, like dogs are considered domesticated. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can say this. I would break the law.
Yeah.
I would absolutely break the law. I would lie through my teeth to every government official about my birds. Yeah. I don't own a bird.
Right.
Yeah.
And then with this bill, you'd become a jailbird.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So we got a caller, Francis. Sayo. Good morning, Sayo. You got a question for this panel?
Hi, good morning. I attended your Ohana Bird Club presentation. I very much enjoyed it. I just wanted to put in a little bit about that comment that was made about using funds to eradicate invasive species.
Uh-huh.
You know, it sounds like a good idea for snakes and frogs, maybe, but, you know, there are other species of animals that are considered invasive, like there's a lot of bird species like the bulbuls and the Java rice sparrows that are considered invasive. Would you is that person also in favor of eradicating these birds? Does this idea extend to every species, or is it going to be species specific? Because it seems kind of unlikely that you'll be able to eradicate the birds. I mean, there's going to be a huge uproar about that, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. There already is, because the state has a kind of a black ops going to possibly eradicate the cockatoos that are up in Manoa. But you bring up a very good point. It says invasive species. How far do we go back to declaring a species invasive? If we go back far enough, the only thing that was here in the Hawaiian Islands were the honey creepers.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Wouldn't it be nice if they were the only ones still here?
It would be nice, but it's also highly impractical. So you bring up a very good point. No, I'm not, as president of the Parrot Club, no, I'm not for eradicating any bird at all in any way, shape, or form. But
and yet you're in favor of eradicating frogs and snakes? I mean, I understand how that goes. I mean, I would hate to see snakes in Hawaii on our island also. I mean, and I think they're already here, actually. They found snakes in Hawaii, but, you just have to be very careful about how you word things, because if you just generally say all invasive species, that could cover a lot of species, you know, and I'm just calling to point that out. I'm not, against you or anything like that. I just feel like you got to just be careful about how you say things, you know?
Yeah, well, let me say, sometimes you do have to be careful, but then you can be so careful that you don't tell the truth.
That's
you don't
true.
Speak
That's
the truth.
True.
And okay. Carefulness is something that we have not been careful. But just to run a little test with you here, and I'm glad to hear from you again, and you got to invite me back to the to your club to give a talk again. But what I can say to you is that I always ask people, we are going to bring 50 people to your home, and then we're going to plop them down, and we're going to let them stay at your house. What would be your reaction?
Well, they better bring potluck.
Exactly, because they came, they came to eat what it is that you've worked so hard for, or you've designed and built a life, and you've adjusted to. Would you be inclined to call the police?
No, I don't think so.
You would let us all 50 stay there. You would accommodate us.
Well, I think I would if there was a need and for a period of time. But I don't. I would say permanently. That would be kind of rough unless we expanded my facilities and people contributed to the cause.
Right, and so I say this is what we have done when we speak of alien species. It is a very delicate subject, and it is one that we all can come up with an answer. And I personally, at my age now, by the way, I'm 56 years old or young. I feel good. So I can only say to you, this is my birthday, but what I can say to you is this. We when we introduce a species, he may be an aggressive feeder, eater, and this local species may be just nesting and hatching, and so they nest and what have you, and so the predators eat. So when we come, 50 of us come to your home, you're going to think of us as being an invasive or a species, and somewhere we're going to consume, as generous as you are and as big as your bank account is, we're going to put a dent in that. And then you then will be homeless, and you then will be no further, won't have a home. Or what we call
a habitat.
Well,
no, I understand that whole idea completely. I've been very interested in the endemic species of Hawaii for a long, long time, and it really saddens me to see what's happened, you know, and it's a very broad spectrum of how they ended up becoming most of them have become extinct. It's not only other animals and birds, but the humans themselves, you know, and and what, we can't change what's happened, but we can try and mitigate future things.
Exactly.
You know, by doing doing reasonable things, but not getting too crazy and one spectrum to the other. But it's a real, I don't know how to solve the problem. I have no idea, and I listen to stuff, and but the bottom line is we've lost so many beautiful special species, and it that really saddens me a whole lot. But it's just I don't know.
Hey, Sayo, it's Phoenix. I just wanted to put in, regarding some of the situations that we have, what I would really like to see is taking some of our resources that we have and reassessing the whether certain birds, animals, plants, things like that are actually invasive. Mentioned bobos and javas. Were they assessed as being injurious to the environment and other laws? We need to focus on what's in place and bring them more up to date.
Hey, I hear your boo-boo in the background.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't.
Hi, this is Clayton.
He's disabled.
Hi, this is Clayton. I'd like to make a comment about what Phoenix had just said. Also, we have an overpopulation of the feral cat population here that needs to be addressed, too. They actually cause, they're invasive to our ecosystem here, and they cause a lot of problems, too.
Yes, they do.
And they attack our seabirds and our native birds here, too. So I think, and
the
also...
dogs, I mean, that's right. We saw a picture of it was a cat that was devouring a shearwater chick.
See, and the funny part about this bill is that it exempts cats
dogs
and birds.
Cats.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. That to me, and I thought that was kind of... Of course, they don't want to anger the dog and... cat owner population, I suppose.
And
coming from a cat lover, I'm a dog lover too, but a cat lover too, and a former, working with all other animal rescues is another thing with this money that we have for this fund of your protecting of our endemic species. Get behind the feral keeters. Get behind the people that are trying to spay and neuter and support those people, and instead kind of prosecute the people that are dumping off their cats.
One more problem that I have also too is that, why does this bill discriminate cats and, discriminate birds and other species, but it excludes cats and birds? I mean, we should be equal. Yeah, cats and birds and dogs, sorry.
Cats and dogs.
It should be right across the board. Everything should be equal, and I think that it's not fair to people who own birds and fish and other animals that are included on this list.
Yeah.
So I think New Abercrombie and all the people who sponsor this bill should reexamine the whole bill before it's even... face Congress.
Did Congressman Abercrombie's office solicit any input from anybody in this community that would be impacted? Have any of you heard?
No.
No.
None
of us.
And I've emailed Abercrombie 2 weeks ago. I sent him an email asking him questions and expressing my opinion on the bill, and I have not heard back from him.
And also too, it's a Walmart sponsor for this bill. It's also the people that back this thing up is the United States of America, the Humane Society. And I've approached the Hawaiian Humane Society, and I've talked to their publicist there, and they declined to comment. So I just kind of feel like, we should rethink about the Humane Society.
Yeah. Well, we've got a call from Eddie. Eddie, good morning. How are you? Oh, okay. See ya.
Oh, yeah.
Sayo,
you want me to hang up?
Yeah,
I can hang up.
Okay, thanks for calling. We're going to let... we got another time.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
I look forward to seeing you, and thanks for your comments.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you for having your show. It's,
Alrighty.
It's a great forum.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. You know, talking about birds, I'm type specific. I hate those birds that are in the trees and on the telephone lines,
mm-hmm.
leave their calling cards the size of a fried egg on your car, especially after you get it washed.
Yeah.
And this occurs, you know, almost daily. Never park under the trees or
mm-hmm.
But when my sprinkler is going in the backyard, I watch all these cardinals and these wild birds. They come in, they play under the sprinkler, and they fly back, and they having fun, and I have fun watching them. As far as mongooses, I hate mongooses because when you're golfing, you leave your sandwich in the golf cart. You watch this mongoose, they come out of the rough, and they steal your sandwich.
So now, because they stole your sandwich, are you for or against this bill?
Mongoose, they used to steal eggs from my mother's hatchery. But, you know, they have to live, too. But the thing that upset me the most was the government allowing $25 million to save this bird. I believe it's on a big island called Ala.
Alala.
I think it's a local bird, and it's disappearing, and they're providing $25 million to try to propagate it. I'm against that. I think if a species disappears, that's part of life. Because basically, if we could, I'd like to find an old dinosaur, brontosaurus egg, and get a catch and let them roam the plains of mm-hmm. North Dakota again. I'd like to see these big animals running around, but these do disappear, and when they do, find those. You read about them in the textbooks. That's all I have to say.
Hey, thanks for calling. I'm glad to hear from you again, Eddie. I appreciate you listening. Aloha. Anyway, Eddie raises good questions. The amount of money spent in the Alala, one of the things is that, let's say this bill passes and they proceed to destroy or eradicate. You know, possibly what will happen is that at the current pace that we're building and farming, and we can't even preserve ag land from condominiums, hotels, golf courses, right? Mr. Abercrombie, don't address that factor as being one of the biggest factors in declining of species. But he won't touch that one. So you won't have a bill coming in, we're going to 667, saying we're going to do away with golf courses, no more building of condominiums, no more building of freeways, no more building of railroads and trains and mass transit because it destroys habitat. But what we will do, we're going to introduce this bill, and we're going to go and take and prevent any animal. Now, I know we have zebra mussels, all kinds of species that went unchecked and have taken over. We have the ogo here, the limu, the gorilla limu, or the ogo in the ocean here. We have the toao, toapi, that was introduced here by the government that is eating in with a voracious appetite in our oceans. We have people that are dumping in Lake Wilson, for example. You can find any species up there, up to piranha. But you don't have an aggressive effort on that part. So I personally think that this bill, it's driven by... You sent me a document from some of the people, the National Environmental Coalition on Invasive Species, right? Defenders of Wildlife, Great Lakes United, National Wildlife Federation, Natural Areas Association, Natural Resources Defense Council, the Nature Conservancy, Union of Concerned Scientists. So I'm a little miffed at why none of you were contacted or in the bird industry or the pet industry was consulted by Mr. Abercrombie or his staff. I don't know. That's what I expect to see when I see bills introduced, a broad coverage, getting all opinions who to be impacted or affected.
Let's talk to some of the people that are in the field, like the people with Wild Bird Rehab Haven, we see things that are very different. We're up close and personal with what's happening out in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big issues is, I hate to say it, but in this economic time mm-hmm. where people are having so much struggles going on, this bill itself is going to negatively, seriously negatively affect the bird breeders,
mm-hmm.
our parrot farms here, our cockatiel breeders, our lovebird breeders, and the avian vets, and our pet supply companies. We're going to see people losing business left and right if, mm-hmm. you know, if these birds are deemed illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to pay for their services? Where's that money going to go?
At the same time, once you deem these birds illegal, you are going to make a black market that is much larger than it is right now. Right now, the black market on parrots is huge. I don't know the numbers, but it's giant.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico recently had to completely stop the sale of all parrots because people were going into the jungles of Mexico and grabbing parrots and smuggling them into the U.S. and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The black market, you make these birds illegal. What do they say about guns? You outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns? Well, you outlaw birds, guess what? Only outlaws are going to have birds. And you're going to create such a huge black market that
Tell them they can't. tell them they can't have it and they want it more.
Exactly,
but,
exactly.
But, you know, take, for example, locally here, Myconia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and what happens is that we think species, and like Sayo said, or CEO Sire, my biggest concern is that these bills and these efforts are not well thought out, and the people that driving it, or somewhere along the way, when these bills are passed, will be the recipients of great grants to do specific areas. And I don't believe that having been a special agent who enforced endangered species and CITES and the import, and looking and working undercover to chase importers and exporters and for smuggling. So when it wasn't illegal, most of these birds, people would smuggle birds in, and the theory was, well, we'll want to breed them, and in turn we won't have to take from the wild. All that played out, and if you turn on Discovery Channel, you'll see a Fish and Wildlife story of people still smuggling birds or horned toads or whatever. But one of the things is, and it's ironically, the Jackson chameleon, mm-hmm. not a native species to Hawaii, but it's a CITES too. It was when, and I haven't checked lately, but a CITES, a Convention on Trade Endangered Species Act, CITES II species, in its own habitat in the African continent, it was endangered, but it flourished here because it had no predators or had no, and it found a great buffet here of native insects and. But then also, not just native insects, but non-native insects, right? And so one of the other things that struck me a little curious about is that when you talk about the agricultural part, today we spend millions raising fruit flies here in Hawaii. We have a fruit fly plant sanctioned by Congress and all the others because it brings money in. It's federally funded. We're introducing fruit flies here to protect the fruit, but can you take fruit out of Hawaii?
No.
Because of what?
Fruit flies.
So this whole thing is kind of, I think what happened, and I believe Mr. Abercrombie was good intentions, but I think unless he and others on this committee solicit an input, not move the bill forward, then as he say, we'll work with you later. Well, yeah, right. Okay, we know how far that goes, if you know. If the foundation is shaky, I don't want to be on the 10th floor, you know. So, anyway, go ahead.
Also, I think that you mentioned the Myconia. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in this bill are plants addressed.
Yeah.
Plants are not even touched on. This is and that's a big problem here in Hawaii, is plants. So, it needs to include plants.
But you,
also,
just a little tidbit. See, today in this administration and these things, see, money grows on trees, so they're going to just be handing and giving it out.
You're right.
You know, they don't want to attack plants. Yeah, you know,
sorry,
so they
yeah.
just, you know, it's so much we got, you know. So
that's right. It slipped my mind. I forgot. Sorry.
Go ahead. Anyway.
Also, in Mr. Abercrombie's statement, he references the destruction of coral reefs. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing in this bill that addresses that problem at all. Most of those invasive species that are attacking our coral reefs come in on the bottom of ships.
Right.
Are we going to send divers out to every ship to scrape the bottoms? I mean, what?
No. Or are we going to beef up our enforcement to respond to ballast water?
Exactly.
In the ships. Right now, you try to call one and see what kind of response you get. But they tout it. We are out there.
Exactly. Or the other alternative is they have a very highly toxic paint that you can put on the bottom of ships that won't allow anything to grow. So we could put that on all the ships and then bring those into our waters to kill off everything.
Yeah.
That's another option.
Boy, yeah, you are a marine biologist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, we got a caller on. This is, go ahead, caller. Joanne, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I'd like to thank you folks for bringing this issue to our attention, this bill that is about to be presented to Congress. I agree with everything you folks have said, and I feel that this bill as it is will probably create more problems in the long run that would be more expensive and just devastating to the environment. If people start to panic and release their pet birds, and there is just no well-thought-out procedure or process, this bill seems to just be so broad that in the end it would be very harmful for all of us, the pet owners, the rehabbers. And it really brings to mind, for me personally, I myself wonder if Neil Abercrombie and the people on this committee are truly representing the people that they are supposed to represent, which are the people that they haven't asked for input. I think that this is really something that the people of Hawaii have to stop and take note of, that if a person that is representing us writes things like this that are so vague and generalized and impactful into the community and families, as well as the I would say in this time of recession, the small businesses. You know, it really makes me stop and think, would this kind of person be someone that I would want to represent me? So, thank you.
Well, thank you, caller. You guys got any response for Joanne? Would you?
Actually, I wanted to kind of focus on the, if this bill is passed, the negative impact it's going to have on people emotionally. I mean, I personally been breeding birds since I was a child, and I'm 40 today. I mean from last week. And personally, I talked to friends who've been breeding birds for practically all their life, and they said that if this law is passed and if their birds end up on the prohibited list and they can't raise birds anymore, they'd rather not live. And I personally myself, if my birds are on that prohibited list, I would just want to pack up and leave and go to somewhere else that would allow me to raise the animals or the birds that I have currently right now. And personally, I mean, on the impact it would have emotion on people, I kind of feel like people would become like depressed, and I also feel like they would have a feeling of loss because, you know, to a lot of people who own birds, for them it's their life and their livelihood, and some people who breed birds also use the money that they use when they breed the birds, and it supports their families. And without that, I think it's going to make our economy even worse than it actually is right now.
Exactly. And I think that all of this has not been thought of, or if it has, it has been bypassed as non-essential because it doesn't impact the people that are formulating this bill. Mm-hmm. So, it's a lot to think of. I've spoken with my friends and family members, and they are watching this carefully, because we certainly don't want someone or people that don't think of our welfare financially and emotionally to represent us. So thank you for bringing this to our attention and to the public's attention, and happy birthday.
Joanne. Yeah, thank you.
Joanne.
Yes.
Joanne, if you are so against this, you've talked to your family, you've talked to your friends, you need to talk to Mr. Neil Abercrombie.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
Good. Good point.
Yes.
I would like you to provide for us, the people that are listening, email addresses and phone numbers or any way that we can reach these people for those of us who aren't on the net.
Okay, I hate to interrupt, but I have Neil Abercrombie's contact information if people would like to
Great.
Call in and to oppose the bill. He can be reached at this number locally at his district office. The number is 541-2570, and if people want to email him personally, is at neil.abercrombie@mail.house.gov.
Okay, Clayton, would you please repeat his local number?
541-2570.
Wonderful. And Ms. Bordello's number?
Ms. Bordello's number is 671-477-4272. And that's in Washington, D.C.
And does she have an email address?
She does. It's at this address. You have to go to her website, www.house.gov/Bordello/IMA/issue.htm.
Okay, and Neil Abercrombie's address?
Again, it's neil.abercrombie@mail.house.gov.
Thank you. I'm sure
you
know they will be hearing from us. And thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
Thank you. Aloha.
Okay.
Again, this is the Carol Cox Show. If you'd like to call in, 524-1080, talking about 669. I have Clayton Young, president of Ohana Bird Club, Phoenix Morgaine, Wild Bird Rehab Haven, Florence Hula-He'e, president of Aloha Hawaiian Parrot Association. And again, this isn't the beat-up session on the congressman or anyone. And we're not, people can call in if they're for the bill. Call in. Get involved. But one of the biggest things that I'm concerned is that, as I said earlier, if anyone is willing, Google my stance on alien species. I can write the book about it. I've worked on the cover. I put my life on the line to do all of that to ferret out these animals. But good legislation is good legislation. Bad legislation is bad for everybody. So this is bad. And when I worked way back, as an agent here working up, it's funny. You had opposition from the state agencies. They didn't want to enforce the introduction of species. Not the bird. They people were knowingly releasing lizards. When the military come to town and they would bring pets, when they leave, they can't get on the plane with them. Right? So what happened to those animals? There is, if you look under, people actually introduce species and boasted about it openly. They were scientists working with the zoo. So there are many problems here, and we need to put a check on, but if we clean the area of non-native species, where are the natives to? Because we built a condominium in their habitat.
There's no place for them to go.
Right, so this whole thing, and one of the bigger issues is this. It's the Department of Agriculture state. There's an agricultural board who decides what goes on. Now, how does this bill supposed to address that? I don't know if you're aware of that. The Board of Agriculture, they meet and they decide which animals are, right? So you got two layers of do-nothings, and they've done nothing for years, especially, as I pointed out, with the Koki frog. Now, some of you are out there. This is going to be an invitation to Congressman Abercrombie to come on and share his thoughts with us or what have you, and then invite you guys back. Anybody that have a different opinion, and I have, in fact, invited people from the alien species programs here, and one says, well, Sundays I sleep. Okay. And the other says, well, I won't be in town for the next 3 weeks, so weekends. So that was a couple of months ago. So they weren't interested in coming in. So thank you for, and the mic is always open for anybody that has an opinion or a stance on this. So go ahead.
I was just going to say that one of the big issues I have with this bill, with it being on the federal level, okay, what cannot work in Hawaii, that doesn't mean it can't work in Maine,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't allow what's the word I'm looking for? With this particular bird, we don't allow here because they're general feeders. Quakers. Because they're general feeders, okay?
The bird Quaker.
The bird Quaker,
okay.
Not the religion Quaker.
Okay.
Because they're general eaters, they'll eat anything. But Quakers are quite popular on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they won't be established. If they get released into the environment in Maine, they're not going to survive.
Too cold.
Yeah, so this is, putting it on a federal level penalizes everybody for things that aren't right.
Okay, well, we got Curtis on the line. Curtis, good morning. How are you?
Hello. I'm listening to this, and I can see what a difficult subject it is. I would like to just add my 2 cents worth, and let's try to continue to make this life-affirming, because the more you try to eliminate things, it's like, you know, you're not going to populate heaven, so to say.
Right,
It's almost like it's the slippery slope to the depopulation community. Is an invasive species a feral human homeless person, and you're going to what? euthanize them? The fanatic Muslim that wants to come over? I mean, I'd like to listen some more, but I'd like to be more upbeat, more life-affirming, and more accepting.
Well, thank you, and sparks
thank
start
you.
Fire, so you know, we'll keep talking, keep calling in, and we'll talk on those subjects there. Thanks, Curtis. Patty?
Good morning.
Good morning. Real quickly,
I just want to say that I'm a college graduate. I've worked with laws and regulations in my work for 30 years, which I retired from. I can't really make sense out of the bill in terms of its implementation, so I can't imagine how anybody else who has no experience with laws would be able to make any sense out of it either, and it could frighten people very much, and you know how that goes where people say, oh, you can't have this anymore, you can't have that anymore. It's very poorly thought out, and again, I totally agree with the caller that said anything from a federal level is going to be a disaster in Hawaii, as we all know. So I am totally against this, and I don't know who's going to prepare the lists of the animals. It's crazy, and I think the one thing that they're trying to avoid is the fact that there are feral animals here that have killed the native species, the ground birds, and those are basically cats,
mm-hmm.
feral cats. And not that I'm against cats, but instead of writing a bill, we need to do something to help the, you know, the native birds and animals, and not just make laws to prevent certain animals from coming in, but clean it up here on our own island.
Okay, well, thank you, Patty. We're running short on time now, but please tune in later, and you can go to carolcox.com and pick up this show, and there'll be a few documents and what have you. But thank you again.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I want to invite everybody to take the time to go online and just Google H.R. 669. Look at anything, read the bill itself, read the revisions, anything that's going on, and inform yourself.
Florence, you have anything?
Contact Neil Abercrombie. Let him know this is not a good idea.
I have the same thing. Contact Neil Abercrombie's office and tell him how it's going to impact you financially and emotionally.
Okay, well, I appreciate all of you, Clayton, Florence, and Phoenix. Killing anything today is just, I feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? As Eddie had or Curtis had called in, it's a concern. It's easy to prescribe something, but doing it. So I don't want to see anything killed. And the birds that are here, they're here, and I don't see any efforts on anybody's part. So anyway, I appreciate you joining us, and this is a standing invitation to Mr. Abercrombie. I'd like to have him to give me a list of the animals that went extinct due to introduced species.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to leave you here with a little bit of Bobby Day, and thank you for joining. Aloha.
Well, ain't it all for three, I'm told. Well, the bluebird, the buzzard, and the oreo. Oh, well, it was a hopping. Three, the walls were rocking. There was a rocking and a hopping till the leaves came a-tumbling down. This tree till the break of day with the bluebird, the buzzard, and the oreo. Oh, well, it was a rocking, breeze was a hopping, they was a rocking and a hopping till the leaves came a tumbling down.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.